There is a place in every Christian's life that God loves the most, and Satan hates it most of all. He can't stand that place. I'm talking about every believer's life. Because when we give our hearts to Jesus, He wants to be and He wants to remain the center of our lives, because this is why we say that we receive Jesus into our hearts. The heart is the center of our lives. And there's a place in our heart that Jesus wants to occupy. That is a place of many blessings, a place of strength. That is a place of encouragement, a place of peace that goes beyond all comprehension. It's a place of joy and victory. This is why Satan hates that place. And this place can become the greatest battleground for our souls and in our souls. It can become a place of conflict, of danger and temptation. For many Christians, this place in their hearts has become a place of compromise, where they lose their vision of serving God with all their hearts and loving Him with all their strengths, where they lose the strength and the boldness that God wants them to have. This is the place, if you will, where we either win the battles or we lose them. Where we can be victorious or we can be defeated. It's a very delicate place. A very sacred place. And yet, when it is compromised, it can really ruin our spiritual lives. We may call it a prayer closet. We may call it personal worship or meditation or simply communion with our Maker. But we have to watch it very carefully. I call it sometimes the middle ground. This is where we meet God. And loved ones, as believers, we cannot and we must not compromise that sacred place. Because everything is dependent on the wellness of that sacred place. Let's look at our text. In the Old Testament, Abraham, it is said here, he believed in the Lord. He simply believed what God told him. Why is he called a father of faith? He was so simple in his beliefs. God said it and he believed it. God gave him a command, an order, and he did it. Because faith without obedience is useless. God wanted to make a lasting covenant with Abraham. And a covenant in the Old Testament was often cut by splitting an animal sacrifice in two pieces and passing between the two pieces together while repeating the words, "The Lord be between you and me." This is how people were making covenants with each other. This is how peace covenants were made. They would walk between the split sacrifices together and say, "The Lord be between you and me." A covenant could bring great blessings to both sides, or if that covenant was broken, it could be devastating and bring curses unto those that had made the covenant. God promised Abraham to make him the father of many nations and give him the promised land. And Abraham says here in verse 8, "Lord God, Yahweh, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How shall I know?" I mean, you're talking about this over and over to me, and your promises over and over to me, but how shall I know this? I need some assurance. You find yourself often wondering, how shall I know that God forgave me? How shall I know that God will lead and guide me to the places of blessings? This is where you then visit that sacred place. And God sent Abraham, gave him an order to create an altar, to create this sacred place. And that's what he did. A blood sacrifice. And all the carcasses were supposed to be split in two. The three-year-old heifer and the goat. But then there was a turtle dove and a pigeon, and they were not supposed to be split. Now, we can interpret that different ways. I just simply, as a Bible reader, I see this as the Holy Spirit can never be divided. And in the Bible, we read about the symbol of the Holy Spirit is a dove. So he can never be divided. So let's look at the importance of establishing and preserving this sacred place that God leads us into. Satan will always want to destroy that sacred place by having us compromise our commitment to the Lord. Abraham, after he had done all this and the sacrifices were exactly lined up the way that God had told him to, he had done his share, and now these vultures came, and they were trying to steal and desecrate the sacrifice that he had brought. So he was chasing them away. "No way, you cannot desecrate what I have given to the Lord. This is the place where I meet the Lord. This is the place of a covenant. I cannot allow these vultures to come and destroy or disturb my presence with God, my meeting with God." He believed that his primary battle was to preserve the carcasses that were offered and now were threatened to become unclean because of the vultures. But there was much more at stake here. The vultures represent Satan and his fiery darts, if you will. The vultures were definitely considered unclean birds. Satan is not merely interested in stealing sacrifices. When you have given everything onto the altar of God, he's not just interested to steal a sacrifice. He wants to destroy and desecrate the very place in our hearts that we have given to the Lord, which is our prayer life. And that is our greatest battle as believers today. There is no greater battle, I can guarantee you. The greatest battle in your and my heart is this sacred place that is set aside only for God, where we meet God and God meets with us on a regular basis, where we communicate with God, where we pray and we are still before the Lord. That is the most sacred place. And that's the most threatened. Satan doesn't care which half he is taking. He knows when one side is taken, he has disrupted our fellowship with God. The party is over. We are left with guilt, with darkness, with discouragement, with hopelessness, and all kinds of other things that he will bring and come up. And then he will give us thoughts of excusing the desecration of our holy place and sacred place before God. You see, Satan doesn't care about us other than he wants to destroy our relationship with God. This is the way he seeks to hinder also how that we communicate with one another. And if he can remove one side and create disunity between us and others, or between us and God, and he can desecrate that holy ground on which we should find ourselves with the Lord every single day, then he's happy. Because he's the arch rebel, and he fears that this place of visitation with God is more of a threat to him than anything else. Do you believe that? Our intimacy with God, our pureness with God, in our relationship with God, is feared by our enemy the most. Because that's the source of our strengths. That's where the scripture becomes reality, God with us. And I want to just encourage us this morning. Make sure that this sacred place is not desecrated by Satan in any way, shape, or form. God made a glorious agreement with Abraham. He instructed this patriarch to take the animals and to cut them in two. And then Abraham was to take the turtle dove and the pigeon and lay them on the ground. And they were supposed to lay head to head. And then it says, all of a sudden, Abraham was overcome with terrible darkness. And he became afraid. He was this man of God. I don't know why God allowed him to have this experience. First, the vultures threatening the sacrifice, threatening to take away this sacred ground. And Satan seems to be in a panic here, and he sent great darkness. And it was so dark. Recently, we talked about it. I think I talked with Rudy about it, how dark it was in Paraguay when it was really dark at night. It was so dark you could not see the hand in front of your eyes like this. It was pitch dark. Here was this man of faith. He believed God, and he found himself in this scary darkness. He was in a holy place. And maybe this is how you find yourself sometimes when you go in the prayer closet and you want to pray and you feel like there's so much weighing down on you. There's so many things that how can I even pray? Because the devil is at work and he wants to disturb our prayer life. What did Abraham do? Did he run away? No. He stayed the course. Whether the vultures came or darkness came, he did his part. We don't have to be afraid of the devil when we do our part. You don't have to be afraid of him threatening you, because the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you, and resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. So the Bible encourages us to use the weapons of a warfare, spiritual warfare. And I tell you, the spiritual warfare always begins with this sacred ground that Satan wants to desecrate, that Satan wants to disturb and wants us to compromise in. We can sometimes, and we may say, when we have these thoughts, have you found out that when you kneel down to pray, all of a sudden you remember things that you had totally forgotten? Why is that? Those are vultures. Or you are tempted, all of a sudden there's a thought in your head and you wonder where it's coming from. Those are vultures. Chase them away. God wants us to be a complete sacrifice on his altar. That's where the covenant with God lies. That's where he has given us promises. That's where he wants to give us wisdom, guidance. He wants to give us new experiences with him. Even the Lord Jesus was subject to these kinds of thoughts and temptations. Just imagine him being in the desert and he was severely tempted by the devil. How did he chase away these vultures? With the word of God. He always says, it is written. And every time you are tempted, every time you're tempted to compromise, get back into the prayer closet and say, Lord, I am here to worship you. I am here not to compromise. I cannot compromise my relationship with you for anything. How many people have sold their souls to other things? How many Christians have compromised in their hearts? And all of a sudden, other things became more important. Other things were more of an urgent matter that occupy their hearts and their minds. And I'm afraid that sometimes, and we may not be rich and never become rich, but sometimes that the materialism, the material things become so important that we say, well, church is kind of an afterthought. Worshiping God, the word of God, reading the scriptures and praying, it's just an afterthought. See, that's where Satan wants us to be. And once the truth of God's word is no longer important to us, of utmost importance to us, then he goes on, because the thief comes that he may what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal. And he wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to destroy and desecrate your holy ground. Don't let it happen. Chase these vultures away, because you can do that with the word of God. My question is, when I look at this story, are we as a church, are we as God's people in pursuit of God's presence? Of his righteousness. This is very important, because look at the text again. In verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. It was a righteousness through faith in, for us now, in Jesus Christ, that makes us righteous before God. But are we hungering and thirsting for that righteousness? Are you hungry for the presence of God when your soul is completely still and you are before the Lord, you humble yourself before the Lord, and you tune out everything else? You're not thinking about other people or other things that could distract your thoughts. You're just focusing on the Lord and enjoying His presence. There's many people that don't like to be still. A.W. Tozer wrote, "If you want to reach the full potential of a spiritual visitation from God, then you must heed to the importance of a unified mind within the body of believers." And this addresses also the unity among believers. That's also sacred before God. If we are sacrifices on God's altar, and you have fellowship with God, and I have fellowship with God, and He has united us in unity in Christ, that unity should not be disturbed. We should not allow vultures to come and disturb that unity. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then at the end there, he says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessings and life forevermore." I pray for that. But you and I need to watch over the sacred ground, this what we call our prayer altar. And we need to pray through situations. And sometimes it's the agonizing process of being persistent. Like Abraham was, there came darkness, and he was afraid. The Bible says he was afraid. But he prayed, he stayed at and on this sacred ground until the Lord showed up. And guess what? When the Lord showed up, all this fear was gone. And the Lord proved to Abraham that his sacrifice was acceptable. And he blessed him there in a profound and mighty way. Oh, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have felt what Abraham felt. God has provided the middle ground or this sacred place through Jesus Christ on Calvary. The cross and Calvary is our sacred place. And the Bible tells us that we can take all our cares to the Lord, for He cares for us. So in our spirit, in our thoughts, I want you to envision that you are very tired, exhausted from carrying all your burdens. And you arrive at the cross every morning. And the Lord is there to give you what no one else can give, relief of your burdens. He says, "Here, I will carry these burdens with you. I will carry you with the burdens. I may not always take them away, but I will give you the strength." Now, all the burdens of sin, they will roll off just like that when you come to the cross. That's guaranteed in the Bible. When you come to the cross and you confess your sins to the Lord, He is righteous and just, and He will forgive all your sins, all, and clean you from all unrighteousness. But then as believers, and this is a song that I love so much, "Near the Cross." Jesus, keep me near the cross. In other words, keep me focused on the cross. Why is that so important? Because there's so many vultures that are all over the place that try to distract us. They're a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. And the chorus is, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. And then it goes on, at the cross I stood one day, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow over me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Jesus says, watch and pray, that you will not fall into temptation. What can we do to preserve the sacred place? We need to worship Him. In a world full of noise and hectic schedules, take the time. Yes, it's possible you may earn a little less money. So what? Take the time to worship. Ask the Lord, Lord, are you pleased with me? Are you pleased with me how I relate to other people? Are you pleased with me how I conduct myself in the house of the Lord? Are you pleased with my giving to the Lord's work? Are you pleased with my prayer life? That is more important than anything else. Because we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If something is not truthful in our hearts and our minds and our motives, God will point a finger at it. And sometimes when we come into a prayer closet, we may come a little embarrassed. We may come and say, Lord, and this is very important that we do this. If you blew it, tell it to the Lord. Lord, I wasn't behaving very well, and I need to get this straight with you. And I need to ask you to help me to deal with this the right way and to make it right. If you blow it, let the Lord know. Don't turn away from your sacred place. Go back to it. Confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to renew my relationship with you. I don't want anything to be between you and me. I want to be ready at any time, any day, that if you would call me through an accident or a sudden illness, that I would be in heaven with you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that reason enough to keep this sacred place open before the Lord? God is, this is what I read once, God is birthing a glorious thing among us. Will we pay attention and seize the moment of His visitation? God is ready to bless us in a special way, but He wants to bless our souls. You know, we often say, oh, God blessed us here with good health. God blessed us here and protected us on the road. Or God blessed us here from being very sick to being healthy again. God blessed us financially. No, there should be more than that. God wants to give us inner blessings through our fellowship with Him, that our souls are blessed. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, you who no longer know where to turn to. That's reading between the lines there, right? And He says, and I will give you rest in your souls. idols. Let's keep this sacred ground as it is designed. Our fellowship with God above everything else. May the Lord help us and bless us in that. Amen.